Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Right. It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Curry lost the handle, bounce pass to Draymond. Draymond penetrates over to Butler. Butler for three, left wing. Bounce, no good. Kuminga the rebound. Back to Butler. Fresh 14 on the clock. Butler dribbles in. Pump fake. Goes up, throws to Payton in the near corner. Out to Curry with five on the shot clock. Deep three. Got it! And Laker fans shaking their head. Start to head to the exits. It's 117-107. Warriors, 48 seconds to go.
Night, night, indeed.
Oh, heck yeah.
Jim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Your Golden State Warriors 1-0 officially on the year. Los Angeles Lakers 0-1. And I know that feels great on a hump day. Good morning to you, Joe Shasky, Carter, Sam, all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready to just enjoy a fun show. Because anytime you start the season 1-0, it feels good. Anytime you start the season 1-0, and it's at the behest of the Los Angeles Lakers, you feel good. Anytime you're 1-0, and you see LeBron James not playing, suited up, looking like, I don't know, Cam Newton without a hat with those glasses, what the hell was that? Anytime you see him pouting on the sideline, it's a good feeling. And that was a good win yesterday. A lot to improve upon, but I don't care if I'm a Warriors fan. You saw Jimmy Buckets drop 30. Steph wasn't even the best performance I've seen from him. The 3-9 from beyond the arc, but 23 points. And that massive shot there to do just Joe. He did almost the quickest night I've ever seen in my life. He was like almost a little half. Just let the Laker fans know, hey, I'm still here. What a win.
Beating the Lakers is always great.
I know. You have that smile on your face. Come on.
It just feels like multiple wins. It never feels like a game. And for them to win down there, it's just it's special.
I came in this morning. I don't mean to cut you off there. I came in. The first like three people I talked to, it was Carter, Sam, Steven. It wasn't even that the Lakers had or the Warriors had won. It was that the Lakers lost immediately. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. And that's true hatred in sports that I appreciate. I appreciate that.
It's just, it goes with the territory. And so to win that game that way, especially after the thrilling OKC-Houston game went on forever.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Went on forever. Mm. Yeah, it was great. It was great. I thought NBC did a great job on the broadcast. We can get into that at some point today. But I want to start here. If Jonathan Kuminga plays like that, if he plays like that, this team can go to the next level. Jimmy Butler was outstanding. Obviously, the 16 free throw attempts. You know, you're not going to get 16 every single game, but they didn't have a matchup that could slow him down at all on the Lakers bench. And I don't know how good the Lakers are. To me, they look like a play-in team right now. I'm sure they're going to make some moves because they always do. Luka is spectacular. But Jonathan Kuminga took on the assignment of guarding Luka for the most part, and I thought he did a really good job defending without fouling and not letting it disrupt his offensive flow. And then you're going to look at the points, and people are going to look at the rebounds, and those are great because rebounding is very important for Jonathan Kuminga right now. I just thought his spacing and ball movement was excellent, excellent in this game. And if he is going to play like that, this Warrior team will win 50 to 55 games. Just mark it in right now.
Lock it in.
You don't think it's sustainable?
I'll see. They had a hot start last year. Different team, different circumstances. It's one game. I don't want to make sweeping declarations. That being said, the way Steve Kerr talked about him after the game makes me feel like this could be sustainable.
I mean, this
it is... makes me feel like he may have actually turned a corner. But again, it's one game. I don't think the Lakers played all that great. I actually don't think the Warriors played all that great either. And they still pretty much in that second half dominated them. I know the final score won't indicate that. And it was a 6-point game with 3 minutes to go. And then Draymond,
well, of course,
Draymond hits that three, right? Wide open. They don't even cover him. I know the head coach, JJ Redick, has talked in the past, like, yeah, we're going to let him shoot that shot all day long. Well, if he's open, you got to take him. He was 1 of 3, his only make. And it was a big one. Steph took maybe some ill-advised three-point shots there towards the end.
Yeah, I didn't love some of the half-court offense down the stretch. But to me, it was about ball movement, spacing, and just playing the way that they play.
They were flying around.
You
want to
talk about a contrast in styles? Seeing the way OKC and even Houston play, where it's your turn, my turn. Then you watch Luka, and it's very like, I have the ball,
yeah.
And if I don't have the ball, then I'm throwing it to somebody with 2 or 3 or 4 seconds left on the shot clock, or I'm throwing up the lob. Austin Reeves, I am going to attack all day. Ball's in my hand. I might kick it out to someone else. Like, it was a contrast in styles. And the way the Warriors play, it's so hard to defend them. They're going to get so many open looks. Obviously, there's a lot of streaky guys on this team, like Buddy Hield, streaky. But Buddy in that role, coming in end of third, early fourth, how many teams have a guy like that who can just light it up in this system like that?
Not many. And he's picking up where he left off.
Obviously,
he was the hero. Not that we all forget. It was only a couple months ago. But he was the hero in Game 7 against the Houston Rockets when he almost blew a 3-1 lead. He was the guy. Buddy, we had a show the day after, Joe, and you're like, hey, if Buddy Hield doesn't do anything else the rest of his Warriors career, he will be remembered for that Game 7. But it's refreshing to see everyone basically have an imprint on that game yesterday. For the Warriors, I saw Guy Santos out there, Gary Payton, Quentin Post. Yeah, there's some things to improve on. I saw Will Richard, the rookie.
Yeah, Will Richard's going to eat into Pajemski's playing time.
He's going to eat into Pajemski. There is a lot to take away from this game, and I want to know where Warriors fans are at this morning at 888-957-9570.
I think it was a full display on what the Warriors potentially could do this year and some of their shortcomings. So let's start with the shortcomings first, and then I'll get to the optimism. The shortcomings. Clearly, they're going to have to rely on GP2 a lot because they have zero perimeter defenders outside of Kuminga. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want Jimmy to get into foul trouble. Dre is not guarding the perimeter anymore. Like, we need to stop this. Dre can guard 1 through 5. Yeah, on a possession, but you're not throwing him on these elite wing guys like you used to 7, 8 years ago, right?
No.
How many turns did he get on Luka?
Not many. I mean, he got a couple of them, but everyone was getting work from Luka last night.
Because they were why? Because they were setting up specific screens to get that ISO one-on-one.
Everyone got the work
from Luka. Pajemski played, and look, I thought Pajemski played okay, but defensively, he got exposed over and over and over in the half court, and it's him playing a guy way too tight, too far away from the hoop, and then compromising the defense. It's literally what I've been talking about all summer.
I thought Kuminga did a really good job on Luka.
No, I thought he did a great job.
And again, like Luka's a Hall of Famer, generational talent. He's going to get his. He had an incredible game. If not for Luka Doncic, this would have been a blowout, quite frankly. And again,
Luka's infinitely talented.
Yes.
But Joe, there is something about, and I know this is the regular season, so he's going to be spectacular. When you get into the playoffs, I don't think you can win basketball games consistently when you hold the ball for 20 seconds and you allow all 5 defenders to key in on you, and then you hot potato it to someone else.
Well, there's no Robin.
It's got to be more balanced.
There's no Robin on this team to his Batman, if
sure,
you will, because
sure.
LeBron, again, we'll get into the conference. There's so much to take away from this game. Just the fact that we're going to talk about LeBron just being on the sideline, not moving. Did you see him move at all? I saw him just sit still. Draymond made fun of him, saying he was in the Phil Jackson chair. Like,
you can't
tell
me
he's not going to be a Laker by the end of the season. I'm telling you that right now.
You can't tell me he doesn't want to play with the Warriors. He sees all the old guys and he wants to play with them.
Maybe he just wants to be out of that building. That's all I know.
Sure. Okay, sure.
He does not want to be on that team anymore.
Jimmy Butler, you know, I forgot when he got hurt, it totally compromised him. He looked great. He looked so physically strong and spry yesterday. And he was getting anything he wanted. They had they put Gabe Vincent on him. They tried Austin Reeves on him. They tried Rui for a second.
LaRavia.
I mean, and I thought LaRavia did an okay job compared to these other guys. Yeah. They didn't really have a matchup
for him.
Team, the Lakers, I don't want to fall into the trap. That's not a great team. I think it's a play-in team, but they need to make moves.
And they also, they are missing like their second best player, who is LeBron. Like that matters in this scenario.
Yeah, but I just don't think he'll be on their team at the end of the year.
He might not be, but they're definitely missing that player and that element.
Sure, I acknowledge
that. It was a six-point game, whether the Warriors are playing with their food or not. It was a six-point game with a couple minutes to go. But it's game one. And for as much as we used to talk about, Joe, L.A. being a house of horrors, specifically
for Steph.
Crypto.com Arena, for Steph and, you know, this Warriors team going down there, I think we could remove that tag. I just don't see that anymore. Steph looked, even again, his best performance, he just looks more comfortable down there. The team, Jimmy Butler, remember the whole foul discrepancy whenever you'd go down there? Oh, it's the Fugazi whistle. I mean, Jimmy Buckets going to the line 16 times and making all 16. That was another big element of the game.
You can't tell me he wasn't getting fouled, though.
Joe, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the fact that the Warriors didn't have that element prior to getting to the line.
The one thing he does really well, which I think all young basketball players should see, it's called jump stopping, America.
Yes.
I have been preaching to jump stop in traffic forever. The new generation, hey, Carter, I know you're a hooper, so you get what I'm saying. How many times do you see someone leap off of 1 foot, they're in a compromised position, and they either have to finish or twist and kick it out? You see a lot of turnovers, what I call shot turnovers in the lane. When you jump stop, you're under control. The guys always, all the leapers in the NBA want to like leave their feet. And he just does this. He doesn't bob his head up. He does the arms up. I mean, it's Coach Rassam, who's somewhere listening right now, my JV coach, talking about it all day. Arms go up, player flies through, you rip up, and it's an and-one. It's all day. His ability to jump stop in the key is what separates him and what gets him seven or eight trips to the line.
I want to hear from the people today. Where are the Warriors fans at? 1-0 on the season.
And I think the biggest take, I'm being real, dude. I really do. I think the biggest takeaway, if Jonathan Kuminga gets to start more and gets to play and do all that, if he earns it like he did last night, where he's rebounding and he's taking on that assignment defensively, this thing that he doesn't fit is complete poop. I don't want to hear about it anymore. No, it is. It's straight up diaper, like nasty, dirty toddler diaper.
It's a blowout.
Joe, he looked great. And to me, it was the ball movement. It was the spacing. It was the patience. How about the lob to Jimmy? They had a 2-on-1 and he threw the lob. Now, is there an occasional possession where he went into the lane with no plan and tried to get a foul and didn't and got stripped? Yeah, a couple of those. I saw a bad three attempt that I didn't love. But for the most part, I thought he played rhythmic, good basketball. And he clearly brings an element of athleticism to the table this team just does not have. Will Richards is going to play because he's a little more athletic and spry on defense. Yeah. And they desperately need perimeter defenders to contribute. GP2 checked in so quick.
You can make the argument Kuminga's last two best regular season games being last night and the one prior against the Lakers on April 3rd, where he came off the bench, Joe, and dropped 18 on 7-12 shooting. He likes playing down against the Lakers. He feels like he matches up well against that team. And credit to Steve Kerr for remembering it. It was the same exact lineup that they started back on April 3rd that they started last night. Jimmy, Draymond, JK, Steph, Pods. It worked.
It did. And I'm looking at it. I'm just going to read the box score, okay, for Jonathan Kuminga. And I don't think it tells the whole story. But JK, 6 of 11, 4 of 6 from 3. He had 9 total rebounds, 6 assists, and only 2 turnovers.
That's again, the one. Only 2 turnovers for me right there.
I think that he was spectacular in this game for Jonathan Kuminga. At times, I thought he was our third best player.
And, Joe, you saw that 3 offensive rebounds, huh? Right? crashing the boards.
How about
what Steve Kerr wanted?
And then getting rid of the ball quickly to fuel the fast break transition. You know, the Lakers are just walking the ball up the court, and the flow of the game, especially in like the first half.
Oh my God.
The Warriors were trying to like push the tempo, and you know, subbing pods out, you lose a little tempo with that, because GP2's not a ball handler like that. You know, but how many shots did they miss underneath the rim? GP2.
He smoked one. He almost had a wedgie right underneath
the rim. Yam that boy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was bad. By the way, there was a yam attempt from Jonathan Kuminga. It's the Mount Rushmore of put back dunk attempts that didn't go in because the ball flew out the opposite end of the floor. But he was trying to, he was attacking all night. But this is the difference. And I think you saw the maturity from JK. Again, it's one game. And I want to hear from the Warriors fans.
No, I want him to play like this for a month. That's what I want. Yes. I think we all do. And if he does, I think that's my biggest takeaway.
But
if he does play like this for a month, how different is this team?
Absolutely.
This is the JK all of us have envisioned. Even if you're the biggest JK critic, right? Hey, take on the Luka Doncic assignment. How many personal fouls last night? Let me just look. He had three personal fouls.
Three.
Yeah. Okay? That's pretty good. Yeah. Guarding one of the best foul getters in the game, right? Look, the guy's going to go off. That's what he does, Luka Doncic. What do you have? 43 last night. You know, but was it an efficient 43?
No, he was bad from the three-point line, but he was good. He was getting those mid-range shots up. He was getting to the line. I think the Lakers can hit a free throw. They hit their free throws. It's a different game. They were at 17-28, and credit the Warriors, 26 of 29. And again, Jimmy and Steph combining for 24 free throw attempts and makes. They were both perfect on the night.
And I have to say this before I get it. I want to hear from all the fans. Like,
please,
if you're in on JK, you're out on JK. Tell us what you think. If you thought Jimmy was the man last night, I didn't love some Steph possessions late. I thought Steph was a little selfish.
I don't think the Warriors played like an A game at all.
Well, Draymond looks so out of shape.
Well,
no, he does. Draymond looks so out of shape. He needs to be able to get himself going. Like, he looks heavy. I'm just being real. He does not look in game shape. Draymond needs to get in a technical early on, like, okay, closing Draymond. Also, come on, dude. Really? We're going to start this early?
Well, that stems back. I was at the preseason game one.
With him and Vanderbilt?
Where him and Vanderbilt did get into it, and it was JK being the guy, the peacemaker, and separating them. There was no technical on that preseason game one. But that clearly, there's bad blood between those two guys for whatever reason. Jared Vanderbilt just stinks, by the way.
No. You know who stinks? DeAndre Ayton is one of the worst players I have ever seen.
Too. He's not
good. Joe, I'm embarrassed on his behalf. He is so god awful. You know what?
You're embarrassed on his behalf.
No, he was a guy like, oh, you know what? I'll go get DeAndre Ayton. Maybe I just hadn't paid like close attention. He is dog water.
There were Warriors fans that were like, oh, DeAndre Ayton, maybe.
We were
wrong.
I was wrong. We were all wrong. I watched him for 5 minutes and I said, every possession where he tries to take a shot is a win for the defense. He is terrible. That guy got popped for roids. He was rookie of the year. You know, this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I would rather have James Wiseman, because at least James Wiseman knows he's not very good. DeAndre Ayton thinks he's good. That's the worst thing you could be as a player. Like, you think you're good. You're not good. Ayton is awful.
Wait, who knew the drop?
Awful.
Who knew the drop off between Anthony Davis to DeAndre Ayton be so precipitous? Yikes.
Well, I mean, you got Luka. I mean, like, the Lakers got Luka in that deal. You do that 10 out of 10 times.
Well, I'll say this, though.
But I agree with you. Like, individually, that's a terrible...
This is a just different Lakers team.
No, they're going to have to blow it up.
The Lakers of old, as I say, LeBron and AD, were just a matchup nightmare for the Golden State Warriors team. That's not the matchup anymore.
I don't think you could go small to start the game if Anthony Davis is in the game.
No, you can't, because he dominates.
Exactly. Yes. And so I think you do start Al Horford. I love that they staggered the old guys. And I thought that the second unit really benefited of having Horford in there. Like, I loved the freaking lineups. I really did. I thought Kerr was on it.
The box score is not going to look kindly to Al Horford. I thought he still had a solid game.
He did,
though. I thought he had some moments, some good passes.
Did you see Luka block him?
Yeah, I did. Well, Skinny Luka.
He looked great.
Skinny Luka looked great. He did.
But he needs guys around him that complement his skill set.
Joe, J.J. Redick doesn't learn. The head coach of the Lakers. 41 minutes? The guy was exhausted in that second half. He played basically the entire second half. Exhausted.
Well, J.J. Redick's a clown.
I mean, Grant Hill in the broadcast is saying, dude, you got to get this guy a breather.
He's a clown.
J.J.? That's your boy, dude.
I have one
J.J.
critique for NBC. Well, I have a couple.
Oh, we'll get into
the broadcast. Show me some stats when a guy goes to the free throw line. Can I see like what they're doing in a given game? Like, can you show me some stats?
I need to see more replays too, because there's a moment there where Pods did draw a charge and it was a turnover, a quick turnover.
Yeah.
And they didn't go back
early
to it.
In the game.
Early in the game, I kind of wanted to see like
no Eagle. It's his 58th charge. It's coming into the league.
I know. And then it was Reeves on the other side doing the charges. Like, these guys both suck at defense. But anyways,
you know what, Austin Reeves. I will say this: Austin Reeves is an excellent player. He's very ball dominant, but I actually really like him. He's who Spencer Dinwiddie thinks he is.
I think the Lakers are actually miss Spencer.
You like Dinwiddie. That take,
I think,
don't you, Carter?
I think they're going to miss Spencer Dinwiddie, to be honest.
No,
with
I agree, but you need those irrational, selfish players in the second unit. I don't think, like, he's better when Luka's not on the floor because he's so ball dominant.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask First NorCal
so
Financing at the dealer.
Like, it's crazy how much the whistle Austin Reeves gets is insane.
Blow the whistle, too short, baby. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. The guest today? The people, Dub Nation, where are you at? 1-0 in the season, sending the Lakers home sad. 888-957-9570. Jonathan Kuminga, 17 points. Steph, Jimmy, all that and more.
I mean, we spent a summer arguing about this guy. He plays great, and nobody wants to call in. Rob, shame on you, Bay Area.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good, Joey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Game, right? Yeah. I'm not trying to like lose my mind. I'm not trying to like do cartwheels. It's one game, but we have to praise when those play well. People get really mad at me when I like you said Trent Williams is completely finished. I was like, yeah, he's played like dog poop for, I don't know, five out of the however many games, seven games.
In fairness, you never said he was completely finished. You said he's not as good as he was, which isn't a hot take. He
no,
just isn't.
Right? And I just think that like people need to listen. That's number one. And my job is to analyze on a day-to-day basis. I'm doing 40 hours of content a week or something like that.
I mean, you're just the content king over here. Move over, Bonte.
No, you know, like as the bar is moving, you know, the stocks are climbing and they're declining. And you just have to like call things like you see it. Last night, I felt like if Jonathan Kuminga plays that kind of a game, forget the scoring. If he plays that kind of a game, ball movement. How about the play in transition? They're coming down, and Curry's just like, give it to me. And he takes two hard dribbles to force the defense in, kicks it out to Steph, bang three. And he pointed at him like, yes. Those are the little types of plays where it's like, oh, JK's figuring it out. Defensively, you stayed locked on, glued on to Luka, face guarding him. But then also, when he was around the rim, had enough wherewithal to box out and use his athleticism to clear rebounds. Like, that's what we want. The assists, look, that's probably not going to be a hallmark of his game. But when you have six assists and only two turnovers, a 3-to-1 ratio, that's what I'm looking for.
But Joe, he was doing that in preseason. So
I know.
Like, there is some, like, I know we like to poo-poo preseason in the NBA, and I get it. But, like, I was watching, again, League Pass preseason, get some help, right? I was watching both of these teams in the preseason, and it looked a lot like the same what I've been seeing. That's JK. That's the Lakers not looking good in the third quarter. That's the Warriors are looking good in the third quarter. There was a lot to take away from just one game. But again, You need a trend before I can start to
say. I want a month.
Exactly. A month, whatever you say.
But I also think that when you play like that to start the season, it's like, oh, well, then let's give him some more time next game, right? And I don't even know if he's going to start next game, but it was a perfect matchup for him to start in this one.
888-957-9570.
Kudos to Kerr.
119-109, the final. Warriors 1-0 on the season. Where are you at, Dub Nation? Let's kick things off with Robert in San Francisco. What's up, Rob?
What's up, Rob?
Yo, yo, what's up? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, yeah, sir. What you got?
Yo, what up, y'all? Man, I just had to call out all the JK haters. Excuse the noise. I'm on 8th and Market right now building these escalators. But, yeah, we're all the JK haters that was talking about trade him, don't pay him, he can't shoot, he can't do this. Like, you got to let that talent develop. You can't just drop off a guy like that. So, all the little Golden State Warriors fans that came after we started winning, y'all gotta stop talking about basketball, man. Just let JK rock out.
What about Jimmy Butler last night, huh? God, he looked good.
Well, I love Jimmy, bro. Hey, like everybody keeps saying, he steadies us, man. 16 for 16 at the free throw line. That's major. You know what I'm saying?
Are you an Otis elevator operator?
No, I work for, can't tell you the company I work for, but I am in that union, yes, sir.
Oh, nice, man. Keep it going, man. That's a great union. You guys are extremely skilled. So thank you for listening to us, man, on 8th and Market. Be careful. Make sure you don't leave anything in your car around there.
I try not to.
That's the Bay in general. Thank you, Robert, San Francisco. That's a life lesson. Just don't leave anything in your car. I don't care where you are. If you're in Pebble Beach, you're in San Francisco.
Joe, I love how you just catch. Like, if you're in Pebble Beach.
Well, I'm just saying because that's the bougie area.
Yes.
I don't care where you are. Like, people that like don't lock their doors. I was like, you guys are a little too trusting.
You know how many docs I watch where they're like, it's the 1970s. We live in Wichita, Kansas. We never locked our doors.
What's the problem?
And then serial killer hacks. Shows up.
Right? It's like, Jesus. By the way, can we stop it with the serial killer docs? There's way too many. I don't need to see a John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy. Can we stop with it? I've seen it like 30 or like a million times. How many different actors do I have to see portray this guy? Zac Efron? Stop. Sorry, that's my TED talk for this morning.
Zac Efron's on so much steroids.
Good for him.
Check that man out. Louise.
Can you give me some, too? I'd love some. Warriors 119, Lakers 109. We're talking all about it. JK gets the start. 6 of 11, 17 points. Jimmy Butler. I mean... what's Kevin Harlan? Jimmy freaking Butler!
Jimmy Butler looks incredible.
That's how it looked yesterday. How'd you think Noah Eagle did on the call, by the way?
He sounds so much like his dad.
He's just like him. But like, he's great. I like him. He's funny. He's funny.
He actually also sounds cadence and voice-wise like Guy Haberman.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, like, no, and I mean that as a compliment. I like Guy. Guy does a good job.
He's 28.
I know. He's really good.
Good for him, man. I know.
I thought Grant Hill was good.
Grant Hill was solid.
Carmelo Anthony, just to split it. It's opening night on NBC.
Yeah.
Can someone tell this man to put on a suit? You're wearing like a sweatsuit.
I was wearing a sweat.
What the hell are you? You look like an idiot. Like, no, like, I'm serious, dude. Like, this is why I told you guys I'm out on Carmelo, dude. Just totally delusional. Like, dude, can you just look appropriate one time?
Hold on. He got like a standing.
He looks ridiculous.
Hold on.
Like, at least Tracy McGrady's wearing a suit, you know?
He got a standing ovation from the Thunder crowd.
It's ridiculous.
It's like a warm welcome back to Thunder legacy player Carmelo Anthony. I forgot he played on the... What? Stop.
Carmelo, like, first team, me.
No, he's a Nugget and he's a Knick. He's not a Thunder.
Look,
stop it.
They have to scrap the pregame show. Like, that is, like, pretty obvious to me. But, overall, I thought they did a pretty good job.
I think Mariah Taylor's really good at the studio
analyst. No, she is good. I like her.
But you can only be so good at being the studio analyst or studio, like the host. The analysts have to have like takes at least. Like what makes inside the NBA so great is that like they stand by their opinions, whether you like it or not. I know what I'm getting from Charles Barkley, from Kenny, from Shaq. All due respect to Vince Carter, T-Mac, Carmelo Anthony, Hall of Fame players. They're not Hall of Fame analysts.
So, can I ask a question? Am I the only one that's like bothered by the Carmelo's outfit? I thought it was ridiculous.
No, I think Guru was hitting me in the chat too the other day. Yesterday, he was like, it's a bad look." What do you think about Michael Jordan? By the way,
well, Michael Jordan looks hammered.
Well, I'm not saying that.
I'm worried about his health. Like, I legitimately am.
He's fine.
He has the look, like, in the eyes. I don't know, man. I mean, I love Jordan, the player.
He's living life.
But the last 25 years of Jordan has been a little ridiculous. What? When I saw what he did at Harding Park, where he was smoking cigars, and they're like, sir, you're not allowed to smoke in parks. You know, this is a park. And he, like, peeled off, like, $100,000 and was like, fine me for the whole week then. It's like, dude, come on. I don't know. I just
that's next level money right there that I strive to be. Right, Carter? Is that how you feel on a day in and day out basis, Cartier over there?
Something like that.
Something like that.
I'm just look at it. Just one last thing.
Yeah, please.
My father used to say to Bonte all the time, like, B, I love when you wear the suits, and like my dad's theory has always been this. I'd rather be the best dressed person in the room than the worst.
Mm.
Right? I'd rather be overdressed and be able to kind of like taper down a little than underdressed.
What did Dion like to say? Look good, feel good, play good?
Yes, absolutely. Jerry Rice too. Jerry Rice used to spend, you know, hours meticulously folding his towel, if you will, before the game.
I was watching Coach Carter the other day, classic Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Rich what? Richmond? Come on. Yeah, it's on Netflix right now.
And so you know,
and he would always, that was his whole thing, like you got to wear a suit and tie. It's like, go to Salvation Army, go to Goodwill.
I'm not even saying you have to wear a suit and tie at everything, every function. Carmelo didn't look like what?
I kind of miss the fact that the coaches aren't wearing
suits
anymore.
No, I'm with you on that, but I'm saying, like, Carmelo, you look ridiculous. Someone should have said, like, you look ridiculous, dude.
Hey, do you know what looked ridiculous yesterday? The Warriors looked pretty ridiculous offensively. 119-109. What a win for them. They were flying all over those. Again, that was not an A-plus. Hell, it wasn't even a B-plus performance for the Dubs. That might have been, like, a B-minus performance.
I thought they played stretches of great basketball with a lot of mediocre.
Yes, I thought it was an individual great performance from Luka Doncic, and that was about it for the Lakers. I saw a good to great performance from JK, given all the circumstances and all the talk in the offseason. I thought Buddy Hield looked great. I thought Jimmy Butler looked spectacular. I thought Steph had one of his B performances. But again, a Steph B performance is like, I don't know, a Jake LaRavia A++++ performance.
Well, you watch the first two teams, and I want to get back into the Warriors, but you watch the first two teams, and Houston's very talented, but I think they're going to be a work in progress. I have a lot of questions about them. They have unbelievable talent, but there's more to winning basketball and than just talent. You have to be healthy. You got to, you know, you got to move the ball. At some point, Şengün and Durant are going to be arguing about who's the man at the end of a game.
Joe, I was going
Şengün's awesome.
Joe, was I not going nuts in the chat when, like, the second to last possession? It's like it's ISO one-on-one.
What did
and
I say Amen about the point
Thompson
guards?
Has yes. the ball?
I know.
Why did you bring Kevin Durant in then? This is literally the guy you give
totally
the ball
agree.
To.
I totally
and that's
agree.
When KD needs to be then, the alpha and say, no, this is why I'm here. Give me the ball. I'll do the ISO, get whatever spot I want because I'm taller than everyone else, not named Chet Holmgren. And I'll put up a bucket.
Hartenstein was excellent in between the margins yesterday. No, he was excellent. But that team, OKC, doesn't look as focused. They played a very mediocre game.
Game one.
And won,
yeah.
Right? And I just, again, it's one game. I'm not losing my mind about one game, but I look at it and I say, that team has some pieces. I would like to see how the Warriors match up against OKC. How are you defending Shea, Jalen? Who's guarding Chet? Who's going to block off Hartenstein? Is it Steen or Stein?
It's Hartenstein.
Yeah, did I say it wrong?
No, I'm just saying it, the most ridiculous German accent I can, so that's why.
Look, he's a really nice player, but all their role players couldn't hit yesterday, and those guys are typically hot. Wallace and Wiggins and all these, they have so many pieces. I almost feel like they have too much.
Yeah.
That sounds nuts.
Well, no, because
I almost feel like they have a couple too many guys.
Well, no, I understand what you mean like that, and that was kind of like the Warriors last year, not to the same degree, but like there's too many mouths to feed,
yes.
if you will. And that was the refreshing part about last night. And you brought this up, and I want to get you to it on the other side because we are up against it. Oscar, Dave, Tony, we'll get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. No guest today, guest free. The people are the guests here on the Morning Roast. But you said there was a silver lining when it came to the Moses Moody injury.
It sucks for Moody.
It sucks for Moody, and it's not devastating. He'll come back at some point. But it gave a certain player an opportunity,
and
he took advantage of it last night. And we'll get into it. And it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here for good.
That is requirement number one.
He was a team high plus 20.
So he gets the ball minus in the corner at the end of the game. Jimmy Butler like throws it to him. He's wide open. He like looks down like, oh, I'm this open. Hits the three. And I go, oh, wait, here comes the celebration. Turns to whoever was talking smack in the first two rows and just starts dogging him.
I mean, Joe, that made it, what, an 8-point lead right there? That might have been the biggest shot of the game.
Do me a favor.
I'm serious.
Do me a favor. Remind me to get into Marcus Smart, that bum, at some point.
Well, just do it now.
All right. Marcus Smart. Yeah. Hey, dog.
Why wait?
The Dre Greenlaw of the NFL. It's not football, bro. Like, how is he always tackling people on the Warriors?
Dre Greenlaw of the NBA.
Like, what is he doing? Did I say the NFL?
Yeah, you did.
My bad.
Yeah, he does play there.
Like, this guy's ridiculous. He's almost Vontaze Burfict. I'm like, hey, dude, stop hurting people. No, he's always hurting my players on my team.
Headhunting.
He's flopping around. He's always going for knees. He's constantly grabbing, and he's just a clown. He's a total clown. In the same way that I view Kyle Lowry as a complete clown because of the way he like bounces around on offense, that's what Marcus Smart does on defense. Like, at one point, he was a great defender. Now, he is dirty. No, he's legitimately dirty. I'm done with Marcus Smart. I'm done with him. I don't want to watch him anymore. He legitimately almost destroyed the entire Warriors season on opening night trying to kill Steph Curry.
Did they ask Steph about that play after the game? I don't see it here.
No, it was dirty.
Well, I was just wondering if anyone asked if Steph felt it was dirty. That's what I would like to know.
And then Steph goes and he's guarding him, and he clips Steph's arm underneath his armpit, and he's like trying to like separate his shoulder.
Well, that's the one we're talking about right there. Yes, yeah, it was a flagrant one.
No, but there was another one where he went crashing into him too.
Well, there was also a couple flops from Marcus Smart from Buddy Hield. They didn't call it then, and then Steph barely nudged him, and then there was the flop, and then that one was called.
Well, and this is where, like, we miss, like, the Jermaine O'Neal, the David West. Like, we need a goon to go back after him.
Well, isn't
like,
that what Draymond's
that's the
supposed,
old NBA. No, that's not.
To
Draymond's too good. A goon is like a bench player. No. Draymond's too good. Like, that's... No.
He already got in a tech, though, earlier.
No, but he's not he can't be a goon. He does goon things, but he's a great player. You need to have a guy on your bench who's going to pull off the, like, I'm going... Like, don't mess with my guy, because we're going to come after you. That's what the 80s had. That's what the 90s had. And they don't have it anymore on these rosters.
No, I know where he
they
is.
They miss it.
He was on the bench yesterday. It's Pat Spencer. That's going
to
be the guy.
Dude, I would love Pat Spencer to go at Marcus Smart. I'm so sick of Marcus Smart. Like, it's legitimately now become a thing. It's one thing. Accidents happen. You're playing hard. He did it to Clay. He did it to Steph. He's done it to Jordan Poole way back when. He did it again to Steph yesterday. Like, our season could have been ruined before it even started.
Just when you needed another reason.
Oh, but he plays hard.
Just when you thought you didn't need another reason to hate the Lakers, they added Marcus Smart, Warriors fans. There you go. 119-109. We're reacting to this win all day long. 888-957-9570. Warriors fans, where are you at? Let's go to Dave in SF, who's been hanging
on
tight.
Dave?
Dave, you're on the roast. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, first of all, I'm the biggest JK hater in the world, and I swear I'm going to give him his flowers.
Wow.
It looked like he's finally, like this preseason, he showed me that he could play within the system. Finally, sand picks, swinging the ball, and look what happened. He's starting to get open. He's finally turned the corner. He's playing team ball, and now he's excelling because I don't know if you guys caught the clip, but Jimmy said that they've been hanging out a lot, and for me, that's like. Perfect, because Jimmy's going to teach you how to play team basketball and what to look for on the floor. So I think that's going to be a huge step moving forward, and that's how you're going to see consistency come out of JK this year, because he's going to have his vet to teach him how to play correctly.
Would you agree as someone, you said you're his biggest, you were one of his biggest haters. Would you agree if he plays similar basketball like he did last night, forget the scoring, like, that puts this team on a whole nother level, would it not?
Yes. Yes, definitely, because he's bought in. He's bought in to playing within our system. And when you play within our system, good things happen.
Agreed.
And no matter what, if you just play with Steph, with Dre, with Jimmy, the way you're supposed to, your time will come. So his time is coming. And then before one thing, before I leave, thank you so much, Shasky, for bringing up that clown, Marcus Smart, because if he separated Curry's shoulder, that's going to linger all season, and it would have just been done. And he's a clown. He is a clown.
Thank
he deserves
you.
To get ripped.
Totally agree.
That's Dave in San Francisco.
888-957-9570.
Biggest takeaways from the Warriors' Game 1 victory down at Los Angeles. We're taking calls and we're taking texts. Same number, 888-957-9570. You can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Marcus Smart, was not a great performance from him. And I'm with you on that. 23 minutes, 3-6 off the bench, 9 points, but he's just not the same defender he was, and he's older, and the Lakers just don't have anyone outside of Luka Doncic. That you don't fear anyone on that Lakers squad. You used to fear LeBron and AD. They don't have that tandem anymore. And in the West, and in this game of basketball today, you have to have a tandem, Joe, that is feared. And I know LeBron eventually will come back. Sciatica, what version is he going to look like? He's 41, dude.
The sciatica thing is so...
I can't
stop laughing.
I know, but like, he's old. Like, that's an old man injury. I don't know what version.
He looked miserable on the bench last night.
But you need a tandem is what I'm getting at. Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry is a tandem.
Jimmy was awesome.
Right? It can't just be Luka and Austin Reeves. I'm sorry. Like, that's not a tandem.
No.
Like, that's not scaring anyone. As great as Luka was yesterday... Like, it was only him.
I do wonder out loud, like, as I'm thinking, just ever so quickly, about Luka. I wouldn't want to play with him.
Maybe.
No. I'm telling you.
If you're a big man, you would, though. Like, if you're a big man, he feeds you.
Thought that Jokic and him would want to play together. Jokic has to have the ball. Like, they both can't be ball-dominant guys. Like, I don't know. He doesn't relocate. He's not a fun player to play with. I think he's actually really... It's like Harden. He's very difficult to play with.
Maybe. But he was, again, 43 points, 9 assists, 12 boards.
I'm not making sweeping indictments about one night of basketball for him. I'm talking about overall in his overall career. He's a great player. He's extremely talented. When you throw me the ball with 4 seconds left on the shot clock and say, please do something or it's your fault.
He needs...
Like, that's tough as a teammate.
No, for sure. And he needs a Kyrie Irving, which is the guy he had with him in Dallas when they reached the NBA Finals.
And they had two bigs who were lob threats who could defend at the rim so that when he gets blown by on defense, you funnel him right into them. And then you have 3-and-D guys that space the floor on offense around him. Like, the Lakers roster's garbage.
Well, it's... Yeah, they're...
For him.
For him. And, again, this whole... season, we're going to be looking at the West and saying it is loaded. I don't see the Lakers again. We're doing game one overreactions. If you have an overreaction, we'll take
give me
them.
Your biggest overreaction. I think it's as simple as if Jonathan Kuminga plays like he did last night and just take away the scoring. I don't even care about the scoring. He plays that kind of basketball on both ends of the floor. That team goes to a whole nother level. Well, they're a top three or four seed in the West in the regular season.
I'll take it another level after that. If you get that version of Buddy Hield off the bench, that version of Jonathan Kuminga and Jimmy Butler, yeah, this team's winning the West.
You
in the Western, like, they will, if they get that version.
That's a lot of firepower.
Hold on. You get Jimmy Buckets going 7 of 14, getting to the line 16 times, dropping 31 points, being in control when things are getting out of control, out of whack on the court, calms things down, the presence, the pump fakes, all of that.
We say this thing like, you can get to your spots. He gets to his spots.
Every single time. Hell, he knocked down a 3-point shot early in the game. That should have been the good omen for the Warriors.
The flattest 3-point shooter ever.
And it went in, one of two.
His trajectory is like straight on.
Horrible. Right, him and Draymond hitting like huge 3-point shots.
Kuminga too. They, like, all three of them have like, they have like a bullet. It's like a bullet three. It's not, dude, put some arc on it, yo.
Jonathan Kuminga, 17 points, 4-6 from beyond the arc, 9 boards, 6 assists. You get that version of JK, and then hit Buddy Hield off the bench, 5-10. It felt like every one of those 3-point shots there towards the end were stopping some sort of mini Laker run. 17 points. Yeah, you get that version of Buddy, JK, and Jimmy on top of Steph not even having his best performance by far from it. Yeah, that team can win the West.
They played like a team.
That's my overreaction from game one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I loved, look, again, it's one game. It's against a team that I don't think is a great team that needs to make some moves. The Lakers.
They didn't have their second best player. I'll keep saying that. They didn't.
Sure. I just think he's done with them, though. But, like, that's a whole separate conversation.
Looked like he was pouting. LePout, James.
LeBron?
Yes.
He looked miserable. He looked like he was watching with envy as Steph Curry took over that arena, and he was seeing like, oh, wow, the Warriors are going in one direction, my team is going in another, and I'm not the man on this team
anymore. You have to be miserable about He has that Hennessy ad. He's doing great, I thought, right? He's doing great. He's quit crying. They kept panning to him. I was like, get that guy off my screen. I don't want to see his face. This is his stupid glasses and everything. Those aren't your prescription. That's the worst part. Those weird sunglasses indoors. Who do you think you are with the Phil Jackson chair, right, Draymond?
At least he was wearing a suit, Carmelo.
Yeah, well, Draymond did. I want to get that sound because he did make fun of LeBron after the game. But we had a caller, Dave in San Francisco.
Draymond made fun of LeBron after the game?
Well, of course. That's his boy, though, so he's allowed to make fun of him. And that, it is, you know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.